This is Find Your Dream Job, the podcast that helps you get hired, have the career you want, and make a difference in life. I'm your host, Mac Pritchard. I'm also the founder of MaxList. It's a job board in the Pacific Northwest that helps you find a fulfilling career. Every Wednesday, I talk to a different expert about the tools you need to get the work you want. Find Your Dream Job is brought to you by Top Resume. Top Resumes help more than 400,000 professionals land more interviews and get hired faster. Get a free review of your resume today. Go to maxlist.org/top-resume. You'll walk into an interview room. You'll want to show that you're the right person for the job. How do you do this? Keisha Hicks is here to talk about the power of knowing your audience in a job interview. She's a career coach who helps HR professionals shift mindsets, move up in careers, and increase earnings exponentially. Keisha also hosts the Morning Mindset podcast. She joins us from Nashville, Tennessee. Well, Keisha, here's where I want to start. Why is it important to know your audience in a job interview?
That's a fantastic question. Knowing your audience is key because as you know your audience, you will be able to adapt your answers or your responses to fit what that particular audience is looking for. Often, when you don't do that, you may leave out information or say too much information. So it's always important to know your audience when you are interviewing.
And what kind of difference do you see knowing your audience in a job interview make for the people that you coach?
Those that know their audience during interviews often are the most confident during their interviews. The reason is when they understand who they're speaking to, the preparation is a little different, which then by allowing them to prepare in certain ways, they're actually able to give the responses that they're most comfortable and confident giving, which then they're able to sell themselves in the best light to whatever audience they may be speaking to at that time.
And Keisha, in your experience, do most job seekers pay attention to the needs of the audience when they're in a job interview?
Unfortunately, many job seekers miss this point. They don't pay attention to the interviewer or the audience of interviewers. Rather, they have a one-size kind of fits-all practice, and they often suffer and or don't get the callbacks that they're looking for.
And why do you think they're not doing this? It's not as if it's a secret. What do you think is the reason that job seekers aren't paying attention to their audiences when they're in a job interview?
I think the reason that many job seekers aren't paying attention to their audience during an interview is because even though it's not a secret, it's not a well-known practice. Oftentimes when you read or you're scrolling online, you'll see, you know, you prepare your interview responses and you practice behavioral-based interview techniques. But I think the thing that's missing is not just the skill of how to answer a question, but that extra knowledge around understanding the audience. And I think that's the thing that is not highlighted often or talked about very much in publications or in online media or what have you when preparing folks for interviews.
So you're a job seeker. You want to understand the needs of your audience when you walk into that interview room. What mistakes, and I know these are unintentional often, do you see candidates make when they do try to understand the audience that they're meeting with?
The biggest mistake that I see many job candidates experience when interviewing is that they miss the mark on understanding the different levels of interviewer. And as a result, they often are not able to provide the responses that they need to, and or they overwhelm themselves with trying to prepare so much information for what could be a simple phone screen or a much longer interview.
I'm so glad you brought up the different levels of interviews, the different types. And I know that in your work, Keisha, you've identified five stages in the job interview process. And I also know that you're a big fan of candidates understanding those stages. Let's walk through them. And the first one that you've identified is a screener. And when you think about that screener, it's often done by phone or Zoom. Who's the audience here, Keisha?
During a screener type of interview, we often hear these as relayed to as phone screenings. Oftentimes when you're in a phone screen, this could be a recruiting coordinator. This could be someone who is a recruiting or an interview scheduler. And so this person may not have an in-depth knowledge about the job. They do, however, have some knowledge about the ATS system or the applicant tracking system that you probably applied and/or submitted your resume. And as a result, this person is basically just trying to confirm that what you in fact submitted through this system actually matches what's on your resume and who you actually are. And so it's almost like a checks and balances type deal. It's a very simple interview. It's not meant to be long. It's not meant to be something that goes in depth into all of the behavioral based type stuff, but it does give just a check to make sure that this is the right role and that there's not a role candidate misalignment.
How do you recommend a candidate prepare for a call for one of these screener calls? What's the best way to get ready?
One of the best ways to get ready for any screener interview is to, one, track the applications that you have pending. Oftentimes I've heard of candidates saying, you know, I got a call, I got a phone screen, and I can't even remember applying for the job. So one thing I would say is, first and foremost, always keep track of what you're interviewing for so that when that call happens, you're ready. You're like, I know that I applied for XY position and this is why I'm getting this phone screen. So one, always make sure that you're tracking.
You mentioned what the person who's leading the screener call is looking for. What can you do as a candidate to impress that person? What boxes do you need to check and how can you stand out from your competitors?
The biggest way that you can stand out during a phone screen is to make sure that you have the job description in front of you for that particular role, that you have your own resume in front of you. Again, because a screener is verifying your resume to what the role is being, is the requirements of the role. With that being the case, when you have those two elements in front of you, the way that you'll be able to stand out is you'll be able to weave between your resume and what that job description says. So always make sure that you're familiarizing yourself with that job description and being able to pinpoint, connect the dots, if you will, what your qualities are as it relates to that job description for that screener.
And in your experience, Keisha, how long does a screener interview last?
A typical phone screen can be anywhere from 15 to 30 minutes. Typically, they're shorter. Again, this is just a person verifying that you, in fact, are who you say you are and you're applying for the right role. Now, keep in mind that this is not a one-size-fits-all type of scenario. Depending on the size of the organization, the phone screen may be with someone who is higher up. But in most cases, this is a 15 to 30-minute deal.
Well, terrific. I want to pause and take a break. And when we come back, I'd like to talk about the four other stages of the interview process. So stay with us. When we return, Keisha Hicks will continue to share her advice about the power of knowing your audience in a job interview. To get a job interview, you need a great resume. How good is yours? Ask the experts. Go to maxlist.org/topresume. The professional writers at Top Resume will review your resume for free. Go to maxlist.org/topresume. Find out how you can fix your resume yourself or hire Top Resume to do it for you. Go to maxlist.org/topresume. Now, let's get back to the show. We're back in the MaxList studio. I'm talking with Keisha Hicks. She's a career coach who helps HR professionals shift mindsets, move up in careers, and increase earnings exponentially. Keisha also hosts the Morning Mindset podcast, and she joins us from Nashville, Tennessee. Now, Keisha, before the break, we're talking about the power of knowing your audience in a job interview. And I think the most important point you made in that first segment was there are different stages of a job interview process, and you got to know your audience at each stage because their needs are different. And you took us through the first of the five stages, which is a phone screener, or sometimes it's a Zoom call. The second stage in the five stages of a job interview that you've identified is talking with a recruiter. Now, when you're talking to a recruiter, Keisha, what does that recruiter care most about when in that conversation?
The primary concern of a recruiter during this stage of your interview process is they are trying to verify if you, in fact, can do the job. This is going to really resemble more of an interview type style. With that being said, they are verifying your abilities and your skills and perhaps your aptitude. However, this is also your opportunity to ask more about this position to ensure that it's in alignment with what you want to do.
So you're the candidate. You know that the recruiter wants to verify that you could do the job. What's the best way to prepare for that and to show the recruiter that you can meet those needs?
The best way to prepare for this type of conversation, and I like to call it a conversation because that's what it should be, and it'll make you feel more comfortable. When you're preparing for this, I always tell my clients to pull maybe 3-4 prime examples from their mental Rolodex of different things that they've been able to accomplish over the course of their career as it relates to the job description. I advise them to pull out some key items so that they're able to weave in and out of those examples and provide a realistic, maybe perhaps exploration of how they'll be able to do the job in real life for the recruiter.
We talked about mistakes to avoid when you're talking to someone during the screener phase. What can you do when talking to a recruiter in this second stage of the five stages of a job interview process that might disqualify you? What should you avoid doing, Keisha?
The biggest thing to avoid during this time is to not say enough. Oftentimes, we try to keep our answers so concise that we may, in fact, miss the mark. Now, you may ask, is there a balance? How do I make sure that I'm saying enough but not saying too much? Again, it's all about your preparation and being able to really consider those 3-4 concise examples that you can weave in and out of. So again, the biggest thing is not saying enough, or it can be saying too much.
What do you recommend to prepare besides having those 3-4 examples from your mental Rolodex? What other steps do you suggest?
Other things that I suggest for this stage of interview process is to do your background research. Go back, look at the company's LinkedIn profile, look at what the company is posting. If you have the opportunity to talk to those that work at that company to kind of get some recon, if you will, about the particular company and the culture and the role, this will all enable you to feel more confident while you're in this interview. And when the recruiter asks you if you have any questions, you'll be able to respond back with questions, not just about the job, but about the company and as a whole, again, to make sure that it's the right fit for you.
And what questions do you suggest asking, not only to serve your own needs as a candidate, but that will impress the recruiter?
Questions that you can ask that perhaps will impress the recruiter could be more along the lines of what are the specific key performance indicators for the role? How will someone in this role know that they're performing at the appropriate success levels? You could also ask questions with regards to the opening of this role. Was it open recently? Was it one that was a newly created role? All of these things will kind of show your interest in more than just the work, but also understanding the role. You can even go into asking questions about the organization as a whole, because this shows business acumen, which oftentimes is a wonderful selling point.
And in general, how long do conversations with recruiters last?
Conversations with recruiters are a little bit longer, can be at least, than a screener. Typically, I would allot anywhere from 30 to 45 minutes, sometimes even an hour if the conversation is really good with a recruiter.
The third of the five stages of an interview process that you've outlined is an interview panel. What do the people that you meet with in an interview panel want to know about you? What are their needs as an audience, Keisha?
Typically on an interview panel, these folks are either people that you would work directly with, meaning that you may serve them, they may be your peers, they may be other partners within the organization. This could also be the person that you may report to. These are the people that you're going to see on this panel. Essentially, with these people, they're looking to see how you're going to fit into the organization. Not only can you do the job, because they know that from the recruiter, now they're trying to see how you're going to fit into their culture, into the way of life for them.
And in your experience, what's the best way to show that you're a good fit? What kind of preparation should you do? And how can you show that you are indeed the right person for the position?
I am a huge fan of being yourself. Most of the time, this is the opportunity for your personality to come through. People want to know who you are. They want to know you as a person. It doesn't mean that you're going to go in there and tell them everything about your life's history, but they want to get a feel for you. Are you relatable? Are you approachable? They want to know your personality. They want to know how you're going to be as they work alongside you. So the biggest thing that I can tell you to prepare is to be comfortable being yourself, but then also do your research. Know who you're talking to, who may be in the room. Sometimes their recruiter will tell you who all is going to be on the interview panel. And if you have the opportunity, do a little recon work on them.
The fourth of your five stages of interviews is a conversation with human resources. Who are you meeting with here, Keisha, and what matters to this person?
As a human resources professional, I will tell you that oftentimes when you get to this stage of interview where you're meeting with HR, you're typically going to be meeting with someone in the HR shop, whether that be an HR manager, an HR leader, maybe even an HR generalist, just depending on who was assigned that day. But what their general concern is, they're looking for culture fit. They're looking for any red flags that may be present from an employee standpoint. That's what they're looking for. They're also there to help you navigate any other questions that you may have as a potential employee. This is a wonderful time to ask about benefits or any of those employee-related questions.
And finally, your fifth stage in the five parts of an interview process is a meeting with a CEO. What matters to the CEO, and how do you recommend a candidate address that?
Typically, the last stage of an interview is going to be meeting with someone in the C-suite, whether that be the owner, the CEO, someone up high. It's usually going to be your boss's boss, unless your boss is the CEO. Primarily, the gist of this conversation is for them to understand if you're connected to the vision, if you understand how this company runs or what their mission is. They want to understand your why. They want you to understand their why. Keep in mind, they've heard about you. If you've made it this far, they've heard wonderful things about you. It is their way to kind of button all this up and put a pretty bow on it and say that they give their stamp of approval. So a lot of it's about understanding the vision at that level and the why.
What could disqualify you at this stage?
I think at this stage, the biggest thing that could disqualify you is not really understanding how to speak to vision or speak to why. Typically, this is not the stage where they're going to be asking you a lot of questions about your ability to do the job. So what could disqualify you is not doing your research on the organization, doing your research on that leader or the leaders in that organization, and being able to speak confidently to it.
Well, it's been a terrific conversation, Keisha. Now, tell us what's next for you.
I love all things LinkedIn. I'm always on LinkedIn. So I invite anyone listening now or later to join me, connect with me on LinkedIn. I'm always producing content over there. I encourage you to come look, listen in, lean in, all the things.
Well, terrific. We'll be sure to include a link to your LinkedIn page in the show notes and our website article. And if people do connect with you on LinkedIn, I hope they'll mention that they heard you on Find Your Dream Job. Now, Keisha, given all the great advice you've shared today, what's the one thing you want a listener to remember about the power of knowing your audience in a job interview?
Interviews can be the most judgmental space, but remember that interviews are a two-way street. So just as much as you may be feeling judged, this is also your opportunity to be the judge. So be you, be confident, and show up for yourself.
Make sure you never miss an episode of Find Your Dream Job. Subscribe to our free podcast newsletter. You'll get information about our guests and transcripts of every show. Go to maxlist.org/newsletters. Again, that's maxlist.org/newsletters. Next week, our guest will be Stephanie Mansueto. She's a corporate recruiter and a job hunting coach. Stephanie helps people get leadership jobs with global mission-driven companies in international development. Visit any job board and you'll find dozens, even hundreds of jobs that you could do. Why not apply for them all? Stop right there, says Stephanie. You're making your search longer and harder than it needs to be. Join us next Wednesday when Stephanie Mansueto and I talk about why you need to be a picky job seeker and how to do it. Until next time, thanks for letting us help you find your dream job. This show is produced by MaxList. Susan Thornton Hoff schedules our guests and writes our newsletter. Lisa Kislin-Berry Anderson manages our social media. Our sound engineer is Matt Fiorillo. Ryan Morrison at Podfly Productions edits the show. Dawn Mole creates our transcripts, and our music is by Freddie Trujillo. This is Mac Pritchard. See you next week.